now. Bob, I just wanted to let him know that Dave Neufeld is here, and so if you guys want to have Dave come on and join you and then continue to proceed.
Yeah, Dave, why don't you come on with the girls? We'd love to chat with you, and hopefully I can keep Bob out of the mix for a little while longer. Hi, Dave.
Can you hear me?
Why wouldn't we? You're a sound producer.
Hey, can you hear me, Carolyn?
Yes.
Hey. Hey, I haven't been able to hear your show because I was just, if I were going to hear any stuff over the next couple hours, music, I just done a little, you send it low to them, so I would send it to Bob if we're going to do it, but I couldn't have the show on because it kind of ties up the speed that I'm able to transfer data. So anyways, what have you guys been talking about?
Well, we've got Anne Violette here. She's the author of Matthew Hurtado's first book of his trilogy, so she's a writer. She lives in Florida. We've got Sheila Kern. I think Sheila's still on. Are you, Sheila?
I am, but I'm going to have to head off.
Right. Sheila is the painter, as you know, who's painted the Ascension painting and the Labyrinth painting and probably hundreds of other paintings. And we've got Madeline, who's been speaking, and we've been talking about yeast. You know all about yeast, right, Dave?
Oh, yes. Horrible shit. Very persistent. Even
well,
on
you know,
Mars, it survives.
Well, Madeline said that on the RNA drop, she's sure that it's helped to heal her gut, and her yeast is very much diminishing.
Isn't that... that's amazing, eh?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't speak about it enough, Dave, but the RNA drops are a probiotic. So they've got a good bacteria in there that is going to help heal the gut, among other things. And, of course, Ginny's here, and she opened up the board so that, you know, people can ask you questions and dialogue with you.
Hey, you know, I was wondering something, and maybe, because you know you talked about the RNA. I remember always being struck a few years ago, I think it was like even in Newsweek or something, they had said, maybe bacteria are pleomorphic, in that they can change form, and like a bacteria can become a virus or become a fungus or something else kind of thing, take other forms. And then they
that
said, maybe.
That was in mainstream days?
Yeah, you know what they said? They said the reason why they would allow it, but I think they call it protoplasm, they wouldn't really say, is they said they noticed that certain bacteria, if they thought, my days are numbered and it's just not a good, it's very hostile environment, it would essentially cast off its DNA and then use sort of what was left of its outer shell to form like a very hard protective shell, almost so became like a spore of, for the RNA inside it. And then later when an opportunity came and it found another bacteria or something, it would just inject its RNA into it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. But
so it was more essential for it to preserve its RNA than its DNA.
Ah, perfect, perfect. But, yes, the pleomorphic theory has been around for a long time, and Gaston Naissant, I visited him in Tribble, Quebec in the, it would have been the late 80s, and he had a microscope, you know, kind of like the Rife Ray microscope, where he actually watched the shifting of an organism. He would watch this bacteria turn into a fungus, turn into a virus. He totally identified the cycles of the shifting, and you know that's what makes it difficult to eradicate these things, because they do have this stealth capacity and this shape shifting capacity, and the only thing that really affects that sort of behavior is the environment, you know, the toxicity, the change of pH, you know, your feelings, your stress levels and everything. So,
but these are all signals for it to get active.
Correct. Right. And again, this is where the completement formulas, they, you know, throw all that aside. You know, if you can relax and allow, make your perfect cells and make your cells, you know, strong with the minerals, then these organisms don't feel intimidated and don't feel under attack, so they're not going to be shape-shifting around.
Neat, eh? So they can see a healthy environment and they don't act untoward.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. They just live their lives.
Yeah. I think you would...
Allison. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't finish introducing people. Allison's
on. Ginny and then Allison.
Oh, that's okay.
Hey, Allison.
Hi, Dave. I was just saying we were talking about how if you don't fight something, then it's not going to react. You know, we're so used to fighting a cold or fighting the bacteria.
Yes. Although, it's just for me, I you know, because that's a loaded term, fighting, you know, taking precautions, maybe you could define it that way. I would say, like, if I feel like I'm, I can feel there's something in my throat that's not just, like, scratchy that a glass of water is going to get rid of, there's something there kind of thing, I will, like, you know, before I go to sleep, maybe take a few drops of oregano oil on my tongue, little things like that. I think it helps, you know, it provides maybe a nasty environment for whatever's growing in there, and... So, I don't know. What do you think, Carolyn?
Yeah, yeah. I'm in agreement with everything you said so far.
Don't worry, Carolyn. We'll be getting into stuff you won't agree with.
Uh-oh.
So, no, don't let me derail, because I don't want to... let's not talk about
me. Oh, no derailing.
Okay.
No, we're any topic is good. You know, like Bob says, and Bob's listening. He's there awake. But
how's Bob doing?
He's doing great. It's just amazing.
Yeah?
Amazing. I mean, after, we're into the third day now, but we started on a Friday at 3 p.m., and in a couple of hours, it will be 48 hours that we've done. But
wow.
He's just doing amazing. It's incredible. I go off for my 6 hours sleep at night, and I get up in the morning, and he's as perky as he was, you know, when I went to bed.
Wow.
Hey,
wow.
Dave, have you been on before? You've been on the show in the 3 days, haven't you?
Yeah, I came on last night. We had fun.
I heard your voice.
Yeah.
So you heard that Ion came back on.
Oh, yeah, I was just happened to be tuned in. Yeah, I was listening about an hour and a half before he showed up, and I listened, so about for 2.5-3 hours yesterday. It was great.
Yeah, I had it on all day, too. I just kept taking my phone wherever I went. And a couple of girls I heard, we all did this. We went grocery shopping and took our phones into the grocery store. Because I never do that, you know. And I'm like, and I didn't care. I think Lynn was talking about having one earbud off, and somebody said, I've got to tune into that show. What are you listening to?
Now, if we didn't have the phone number to use to call into the show, can people still listen to the show directly on the Internet?
Yes.
I grocery shop all the time when payday's on. Either on the phone or on the Internet on the phone. Either way.
Well, that's cool.
Hey, so Carolyn, I don't want to interrupt. If you guys are, like, talking, like, interesting health issues, keep going, and then I can interject into them because I don't want to stop that. Because I was going to ask you, you know, this is a whole Bob-a-thon show. I was wondering, you know, you often talk, Carolyn, about, you know, you don't want to, you know, dwell on negative things and stuff like that because it's counterproductive and just energizes it. And it's just, and so with this show, with the Bob-a-thon, part of it has the Who Killed Kennedy theme in it, right, which is sort of more of a top-down expression. Does it matter who killed Kennedy?
Well, like Bob has said, I think it was McLuhan said, we continue to mow down the Kennedys, all of us, because we are interacting with the current environment. So we're as culpable as the guys who pulled the trigger. That's the overall. And you've heard Bob say that before, haven't you, Dave?
Yes. And didn't the public say that with Lady Diana? Didn't we say we killed Lady Diana? Everyone did.
Yeah. Must we continue to mow down the Kennedys?
Yes. Now, who did McLuhan? That was McLuhan's quote.
Yep. Yep. I wonder if Google that.
Why did we kill Lady Di?
Because we hoiked her up as a media icon and the representative of us, and just put her out to, you know, in made her the fodder for the media so that we could have someone to hoik up and be our goddess. And, you know, we just sat back and watched her devolve into whatever she became as a dead, you know, patch of flesh in the tunnel.
It's not must we continue to mow down the Kennedys.
What? I knew that would get Bob activated because...
What is it?
It's must we continue to mow down the Kennedys in order to show that the hot politics of today do not work on a cool medium of TV. You know, hot politics does not work on a cool medium. And and bureaucratic elections are past rearview mirror 19th century activities that get all heated up because of the cool medium of TV. So you create more problems by continuing the hot politics. So we stop having politics and run the elections from the studio, basement studio. You don't need to have guys running around, you know, going from town to town in the back of a train.
There's your Veep again, Bob. The Veep.
Yes, right. And so that's what it was. Must we continue to mow down the Kennedys? And half the people said, yeah, I think we should continue to mow down the Kennedys.
Yeah. It's some youthful conscious or maybe unconscious purpose, so let's continue.
Yeah. It's so ridiculous. Like Kel's no good outside her chosen field of medicine. Like she tried to pass that off to you guys, yep. And you and Dave goes, is that what he said? Must we do it? Yeah, Kel goes, yeah.
Bob, I think you said ultimately, you know, because, you know, a lot of people felt depressed at the idea that, you know, it was a coup and this guy was kind of more liberal-minded and these mean drug-dealing thug kind of guys. He said, no, that's not how the world works. It works this way.
And we'll continue to hide politics in a coup.
but I know you also said that ultimately you've expressed, you know, to say in a crude way, that he ultimately couldn't have made a difference in the face of technological change.
Yeah, but it is. Remember, what is it, Carol? What's the question?
About?
What, it doesn't what matter Kennedy. Who now killed do it. Kennedy.
Does it matter who killed Kennedy?
No, the one you learned, the one you didn't complete.
Must we continue to mow down Kennedy?
Mow down
yeah,
Kennedy.
What's next? I want to see if Carol gets it. What, continue it.
In
order.
The hot politics and cool TV medium.
Yeah, she can't do it.
There's hot politics and cool TV.
Yeah, but you have to put them in order and put a verb in there.
I don't care about
the
verb.
Must we continue to mow down the Kennedys, hot politics, cool TV.
Your incompatibility with cool TV, something like that. They clash, whatever, merge, subsume, move on.
You can't have a preposition be unemployed. You must have a predicate.
I like to diss Bob, and Bob likes to diss Carolyn.
Yeah, I can always get Carolyn. She is so cute. She's like a little girl, you know. She goes, these are big words, but she steps up. Like, she can rattle off scientific terms, but you get her over to sociology, she's a little kid, the words are bigger than her head. Must we continue to mow down the Kennedys in order to show? He said, it's even a preposterous statement by McLuhan, we kill the Kennedys to show that politics don't work in a cool medium. These guys.
And so what works to replace you?
Kill them. Don't you guys realize that hot politics does not work in a cool medium? That's the point.
Tell us more about that, Bob.
Well, how'd you get on to that?
Dave brought it up, I guess. He said something like, you were talking about the Kennedy assassination, but does it even matter who killed Kennedy? Because it's, you know, just more negative information, something like that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Dave said must. What did you say? You said, can we...
We killed the Kennedys, too, that Bob, that you would say that, well, no, all of us,
yeah,
in effect,
must
killed
we.
Them. We have to keep doing it over. But what's being expressed by that?
The we, oh, that's, well, that was the joke. McLuhan didn't get into this nitpicking. If you wear an environment, the users of an environment are as guilty as the guys who are running obsolete operations in the environment.
Right.
I've
the audience, the silent majority.
No,
but then again, Then the silent, isn't that part of the whole? If people had been revealed the conspiracy, say in Jim Garrison, and they had gone on, you know, NBC and ABC, and they said, "This is appalling. Look at this. It's clearly, you know, blah 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 blah," blah, would that have made a difference? That would have had a lot of impact then, because the cultural landscape was completely different. People's trust in government and authority was completely different. So maybe that so-called expose kind of information that people feel they want to have might have had an actual tangible cultural effect in terms of political change. But people, more obvious effect it's been is just cultural cynicism.
Carol, who brought this guy into this fucking conference call?
Really?
No.
Am I racking your brains, baby?
Is that Dave or Davey?
Is that Dave? Oh, Jesus. Hey, pick another topic. Would you get?
What? Dave killed himself. Oh, jeez. I wrecked the conference call.
Do you remember Dave? He was on with you last night, Bob.
I know.
He was your guest the night, and you got along real well with him.
I associate talking with Dave when it's dark out. Everyone talks to Dave when it's fucking light out.
I know. This is like, let's find something to talk about rather than let's just start giggling and let it flow, baby.
Yeah.
What's happened?
Let it flow.
Hey,
so Dave, what are you trying to say? Obviously nothing. Nobody stops the world. No fucking song stopped the world, said Bob Dylan.
Yeah. No, what was it? Frank Zappa said, he had a good quote, too. He said, what is it? And you mentioned that, too. The first satellite broadcast was All You Need Is Love.
Yeah, and that was June 25th, 1967.
Yeah, I remember when Frank was up for the obscenity, he said the most things that people...
And Carolyn established her practice on June 25th, 1979. So what's that, 12 years later? Mm-hmm. Anyways, but what? So you were saying...
He said...
Everybody get on the... I didn't get your point.
No. Zappa said...
And demanded the truth?
Listen.
Your scenario there?
Frank Zappa. No, I moved beyond that. But Jim Garrison in 1968, would it have mattered then versus now?
Dave?
What? Well, I'm jumping topics. I was gonna leave that because you said I don't want to answer that. What?
No. Phone might be.
No. Yeah, this phone, it doesn't work there. It's always falling out, and I can't hear. So I need a better something to hook into.
Yeah, the other phone is probably charged up.
Oh, that's been up on. Yeah, that's been up on all night.
Yeah.
I mean, all day. Yeah.
Okay, so, Bob loses words.
I missed your words, Dave.
Okay, what I was basically saying was, would it have, let's say, in a cultural context, in 1967 or 1968, 3-4 years after the event, if Jim Garrison and that had gone on TV for real and all that, and they had, you know, had been in a situation where people were appalled, would that have made a huge cultural difference then? Do you think that would have made a difference? Would that have prevented, say, Robert Kennedy or Martin Luther King?
Well, okay, it might have put different people in the White House. And,
right.
But nobody, then the kids would continue watching colored TV and wanting to take LSD, and some bans would continue to happen.
Absolutely.
So the effects of TV, which the culture
continued,
could not stop that.
Yes.
It just have different people who would then come out and be outraged at what the kids are doing.
Yeah, but how about this then? How about this? So the kids are getting stoned, and how about they get stoned and think, shit, man, what's out there? I get killed in Vietnam, and all these crooks are running the show, versus what's out there? You can go out and help people in the third world, and our president's kind of cool, and everyone likes him. I don't know. That would create a different reference point for people to dwell on all the time, potentially.
What was coming next? Color TV, what changed the world about 1970? The instant replay. That changed the world.
Right.
And then that turned everybody into a bunch of idiots sitting home Monday night watching football, because the football was the best performance. And then that alienated the domesticated marriages. And then what's the next technology would be cable
VCR
TV.
Machine?
Cable TV.
Yes.
What?
No, I had said VCR answering machine, but cable TV.
Yeah, cable TV. And so the whole sequence of technology was inevitable, and yet you would have different people doing different bureaucratic trials and putting people, different people in jail, but the general effects of society would not be stopped.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. Common sense. Okay, just a
minute. And yet at the same time, it does matter from
Dave,
the top.
Dave, just
what?
A minute.
Yeah.
Because some of these buttons, they're loose. Yeah, go ahead. What were we going to say?
At the same time, leadership does matter as well.
Leadership would be, should we allow the instant replay? should be allowed people to
yes.
That's leadership. That's
exactly,
leadership.
Bob. And you've only got 127 votes out of billions. So it's like you've got a ways to go, but I agree.
Yeah, and it's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen. Just the more and more people become aware and they don't show up for the bullshit rituals. Right?
Yeah. Hey, you know, so Bob, you haven't done Bob Marshall for many years. It's limiting to do sort of top-down stuff, in a sense what Mae Brussel did. Remember when Nelson wrote to you, like, yesterday and said, hey, you know, it's really amazing, what would Mae say nowadays?
Yeah.
You know, and I know it sounds on a certain level, you know, a very cliche kind of thing to say, but on another level, you know, she would probably be watching all, like, could you imagine her cover of the free trade agreement, the whole NAFTA thing? She would have said, this is just the drug cartel setting up more avenues for themselves to bring in the drugs as they, you know, continue that business, which rivals the petrodollar business.
But the scenario she did in the 70s is, I mean, I watch way more TV now than I did 30, 40 years ago. The mm-hmm. daily TV every night is the Mae Brussel scenario. That's normal
yes.
fare.
Yes.
So here's where I would switch it. I'd say stop showing that politicians are corrupt
yeah.
and are drug dealers. Show Hollywood producers. Show the battle for the Oscars involving drug dealing and murdering, you know. This is the big joke, because the real politics is the entertainment environment, and they get off scot-free, other than funding left or right, but why not show the corruption in Hollywood, in the media environment? Not bureaucratic 19th century politics, that's too easy. It's actually, so many series just show corruption in politics. It's silly. They should be going in the direction I'm talking about, but they won't. They won't do the managers of the media entertainment societies, you know, the Barry Dillers, who else are up there? David Geffen, those guys, you know what I mean? The billionaire guys that just sit there and manage themselves into trillionaireness. And like, there is probably incredible corruption for the Oscars, because the Oscars is a... they release all the managers release all the stuff, and so people can see for free on the free thing, so they can get the votes out there, mm-hmm. all in, say, December, January, February, and then
yeah.
they have the big awards, and then that determines what movies really have a long reign.
Yes. Again, it keeps going back to, you know, with all the diversity, it keeps boiling back to only 40 people left on the planet. You know, and that way, that's why Ford has been so huge in Toronto, because now the media don't know where to go. Here's where the press, here's where the news is. He attracts the chemical bug.
Yeah, they don't show, go to John Stewart. Have John Stewart. They tried to show it in this new show, Newsroom, but they were really, Aaron Sorokin or whatever his name is, Newsroom, but it was really badly done. Take John Stewart's show, or a character like John Stewart, and show the corruption in John Stewart's environment.
Right.
His manager, the president of the TV, and they're offing people and killing Stephen Colbert,
yes.
you know, or something. And
mm-hmm.
that, in other words, the internet. One thing about watching John Stewart that we watched last night, he does that every night. He has to be this goofy, you know, shocked face every night about all the stupid million stories. He's a fucking phony, man.
Right.
He's running that same shtick every night. How could you do that every night? The outrage.
Is he getting paid? It's a comedy show.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it has other ramifications besides being a comedy show, but he always has that as an underlying thing.
No, he's a comedy show.
Here to make
show.
People laugh.
And he has to keep doing and making people laugh and never
yeah.
going to a level of saying, hey, what about this? In other words,
right.
it's not anti-environmental. It's not an anti-environment. He's a bigger president than the president. He
right.
is the president. He's the guy that people look at. Because today you don't rely on bureaucratic maneuvers, outlaw this and that. You need to be told what you think is going on. You know, it began with the nightly Tonight talk by Johnny Carson or Jack Parr. That was, every night people would listen, Croker wrote about it as an enema, and you would listen to the guy wrap up all the information environments and make little jokes, and then that was your little sermon on the mount, and then it would be done the next night. And then you got, with more media, they got more elaborate at doing the Johnny Carson. So So that Jon Stewart, his elaborate show and Colbert show is just a complex updating of what Johnny Carson used to do 40 years ago, you know, when he gave his little monologue.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. And people need to, the need to know what's going on is the underlying preference or bias there. People want to know. They know a lot of stuff went on. They didn't have time to read everything, so they listen to Johnny Carson, who tells them the main stupid events that we got the headlines. Mm-hmm. And they
become the cliche.
Yeah. But they need pattern recognition. The community is the imagery, the inventory of images. That's
and a way
the,
to express emotion, whether it's
what?
Laughter, and also a means to express emotion, whether it's laughter or disgust or rejection or anything.
Yeah, like people keep reading newspapers every day. You know, the scariest thing for Madeline and the regular people here is to stop watching the media and to not knowing what's going on. They all need to look at the newspaper. I have had the guts for decades of walking around and ignoring the headlines. And as soon as a topic comes up, I can go on and sound more learned than anybody, and I don't even know the details.
Mm-hmm.
I started watching the news 6 years ago, Bob. Thanks.
See, now there's something you didn't notice. That is, that's a very irresponsible act because everybody stopped watching the news to 15, 20 years. Why were you, only six years ago? You have to say, I stopped watching the news 20 years ago. That's respectable. But 6 years ago is not respectable. You neurotically were trying to keep up on the news for 14 extra years.
That's true, I was. And then I realized it was a neurosis. And
yes, that's
so
good. That's good. That's good. That's good. But the problem is, you're on the internet, and you move to the chip party, and you're monitoring whatever the Facebook pages or whatever it is you monitor in the chip on the computer. Look, people can't check. You cannot operate without checking your email. But what you do
that's
now,
it.
You check your
I
email.
Can.
Now, here's what you do now. You check your email, and then you can say, okay, I'll do that. But no, they go on their Facebooks, and they start finding shit to broadcast on their Facebook.
You know what I saw a thing? I wish I kept it, but I can remember the basic stats. They did a study of workers in sort of, you know, information-type businesses, and they said in the 8 hours that they go up for work, they have calculated on average people work 3 hours a day, 2 hours and 53 minutes. And then they said, so what are they doing the rest of the time? What are they doing? 1.4 hours going into social media and Facebook-type stuff. No, actually more like about 45 minutes doing that, over an hour sifting through news stories. It's a very common thing. Yeah,
that's right.
And then probably posting them on the ones that they find interesting on the Facebook or whatever. And then actually, ironically, 26 minutes of the day was spent looking for a better job.
That's right.
Looking through classifieds and listings, yes.
Dave,
and then 45 minutes was yakking.
Listen, I'll give you a better pattern. What is the hardest part of this sleep fast for the next 5, 6, 7 days? You know what the hardest part is?
Having to think?
No,
that's easy.
Here's what it is. There's 4 new shows on Sunday night. I will not keep up with Homeland, Good Wife, Empire Boardwalk, and whatever the other one is, By Any Means or something. And
yeah.
I'm going to fall behind this week to the 10 shows that I'm monitoring, that I like watching. That's the hardest thing. For me, I'm going to have to be, by next Thursday, I'll have 10, 12 shows behind.
Wow.
That's my news. My news is to keep up on the shows. You know,
right.
I'm addicted to these series.
Right.
I like watching them. It's interesting, even though it's irritating. And
it's disrupting your present pattern that you enjoy.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, sleeping, it's using my chip body. I can't use my chip body and TV body.
Yeah, so you're acknowledging the sensory bias and sensory life that you've kind of surrounded yourself in.
Not sensory, that's
pattern?
The multi-body.
No.
The multi-body life. I'm acknowledging my multi-body life and how I am used to, I've got the many hours to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
so Willis getting the
I'm tempted to put an Evergreens recording on, a long one, and go watch fucking a show. But here's the thing. I'm interested in hearing these Evergreen sessions. I haven't listened to them in years, so I have to listen to them. I want to hear them. So I've just resigned myself. I'm going to be all fucking up. I'll be up next weekend. I'll be spending hours catching up.
Mm. So you're going to be going till when? Live on the radio till Wednesday?
Well, the way it's going, it's not even a fucking problem to not sleep. I may go, depends on how much I get broadcast. You know, we've got...
What do you mean?
We just got lined up today. We don't have anybody lined up for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Then there's going to be more free hours and I'll be posting more stuff. And it depends when I finish. If I haven't got a certain amount done by Wednesday, I think I'm going to go another day or so to finish.
Oh.
Yeah, I've got a lot of... I want to put these Evergreens recordings in this one place. I've always wondered, how could I share my Evergreens recordings? Where do you do it? What's the context? But if this becomes an interesting archive of 140 hours or something, then this is a perfect place to put my Evergreens sessions. That it's a package, you know? You can work your way through them.
Awesome.
Right,
where's Carolyn?
She's over in the... She's doing something in the kitchen.
Okay.
What, who's the next guest?
Is it Dave?
What time do you come in, Dave?
4.
11.
So I've been on for half an hour.
Oh, okay. So there was nobody before Dave?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I didn't miss them. I was in the bathroom. And when did they... I didn't get to say goodbye to them.
I killed them. Sorry.
How did you hear that?
Oh, okay. You guys don't even breathe.
See, Dave comes in and fucking dominates. He just fucking... Sheila's still here.
No, Bobby, that's why I said, if I'm interrupting, you know, you're probably talking about something interesting. Let me just hear what you're doing.
Yeah, you'll be adding. So Sheila's still here.
I don't know if Sheila's still here. That was Allison. I don't know if Sheila's still here. I think she had to go.
Okay, so yes, we did an hour. We did Sheila and Ann. Ann went over, but she was part of Sheila. We did an hour with Sheila, right?
Yep.
And then
hey, Bobby, here's what we can do for a sec. Want to do this? Hey, you know what it is, too? I sent it to you in your email. If you want, I've got a few little tracks, so we can just, for the hell of it, you know, play. What did I send? And
okay,
like some of them, there are other people.
How long are you booked in for, Ginny?
Supposed to be
2 hours?
A couple hours, yeah.
Okay, so why would we do any tracks?
You don't want to hear any music to fill it out?
Not really. I'd rather talk into something.
Okay, if you can keep it going. But really, I thought you might want to play little bits and some little of this stuff, but then we could talk about that.
I don't give a fuck about music. You know, your music is... why would we listen to your music? It has no context.
We won't.
It's new. I like music that has fucking a cultural context.
Gotcha.
Really, you know, is there something about your... This is music you made.
No, if you put it in that context, I think there's a cultural context, but I don't think it's as mind-blowing as cultural context from you have. So
it's new. It's not have been processed.
It's unreleased music, that's right.
Yeah, I'd rather talk about what we can talk about. And so we've got to come up with some stuff, and that means that let Allison start something. When are you scheduled, Allison?
I was over a half hour ago.
Bobby.
Okay.
I was scheduled. It was supposed to be Gaga's the fucking hour, but it was whatever.
No, we didn't do
Gaga.
What's Gaga?
We Gaga. What was that?
What did... So you interacted with Sheila, you didn't do the Gaga's.
We didn't because there was another conversation going on, which is, that's pretty Gaga-like. We didn't have to stick to a format, but I had, when Sheila and I talked this morning, we had considered talking about Ion coming on yesterday. And so I had taken all these notes about what was said yesterday.
Well, let's go into that.
I will. I'm going back inside now. I've been walking around. We talked about how several people yesterday listened for so many hours that they took their phones wherever they went, whether it was a public place. So, hold on, I have to go back in. So, yeah, that was pretty cool that Ian showed up.
It certainly was.
And I took... What was the question that Jenny and... Or that Ian asked you, do you remember, in the very beginning? And Greg and Jenny...
What did he ask?
I talked about it last night, I think.
What was that?
The answer... The Antrim, when Ian said he busted you, gave out all the codes, he said.
Why are you breathing hard? Are you jogging?
No, I was running. Well, I came back in from the house. Sorry. From outside,
okay.
I mean.
Okay. So what did
Ian said, he said, Ian said, what, Madeline?
Okay, start over. I don't know what you're talking about.
Ion, when he came on yesterday,
yeah.
When they came on, the first thing they said was, tell everyone, Bob, about the anthropomorphic anti-crew.
Right, the anthropomorphic anti-crew and about the your purpose or something-driven purpose.
Right, purpose-driven reality includes.
Right, so we discussed that at some point over the last 24 hours. We talked about that.
Yep, you and Jenny and everyone.
Yeah, I was interviewed and asked about it, and we came.
And you didn't get. You didn't answer. I don't think.
Right. I don't know what it meant.
Which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob. Allison, it'd be cool if Carolyn can come back in a bit after she's doing whatever she's doing. If she's
She says she can't come back. She has to put one of the phones on the
charger.
Now, do you have? Can you listen through your headset through your computer?
Yeah.
But you can't speak that way.
I was going to put my cell phone on.
Oh, I can sort of hear you now too. Even your voice, like, it's faint, but you can actually hear you talking. You're standing close to Bob.
So you wanted Carolyn to come back and do what?
Which is maybe that whole thing in Montreal with this guy Nathans and that. Now, it's interesting because you keep bringing up Robert Fulford, and he was the editor of Saturday Night Magazine, and they did a really extensive article. I thought it would have had a lot of cultural impact, but it didn't. Basically, quite like, you know, not really hostile at all towards him, and let him sort of lay out his stuff and said, this is pretty amazing what he's doing, and look at Health and Welfare Canada and all of that. They're just like, they're going to shut him down. And it's...
No, I'm not sure. I thought you were talking about Robert Fulford. Are you talking about Nathans?
Yes, in Saturday Night Magazine, Robert Fulford, I believe, was the editor or the main guy of, you know what I mean? Not the publisher, obviously, but he was the main guy when you saw in the masthead of the thing with his face at the start. You know,
a long time ago.
That's right. When they made that article in about, I guess it was in about the mid-80s when that article was published in Saturday Night, and it was about an 8-page article with photographs. They visited his lab and let him speak and talk about his results and what he had found, and the kind of conclusion was Health and Welfare Canada were going to shut him down. And
what would you want to say about him?
Well, I want to know more. That's all I know. I'd like to know more.
Okay,
and
here's the
someone
thing.
Like Carolyn, who's been in his lab and knows about it, to talk more about it.
Dave, here's the story. Carolyn visits him around the late 80s, and she's going around his home, and she sees the D-cell sitting on his kitchen shelf.
No.
Yes. And
how the hell would he have access to that if he didn't?
That's how he got it. He got the D cell. I don't know what in his life years before he got the D cell. He knew it changed the water. So then he wanted to look at it, and he invented a microscope. Right, Carolyn? Wait, Carolyn's just calling in on her thing. So you can't
Dude,
hear
this
me,
is unbelievable.
Carolyn? Yeah, just
Carolyn.
Okay, we're waiting for Carolyn to come in. She's calling in on her cell phone. Yes, he has to register her name and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Carolyn.
No.
Can I not say my name when I come on? Do people hear that?
Yeah, no, you have to say your name, and then you just become a regular. Then you have to do another number to be host. You don't need to. You don't need to
Star
do that.
Five.
You don't need to be a host. So how come I can't hear you, Carolyn? You guys hear her?
Well, still no, just in the background, but not like direct. Has she gone to Star 5?
Yeah,
someone
muted.
That muted her? Or did you do the
Be
star
quiet,
five?
Be quiet, Dave. You're talking too much. Carolyn, you just phone in and register your name. You don't do star five.
You... Well, that's what Bill says on the thing, but maybe you have to unmute me on the thing.
Unmute you.
On the board?
You have Oh, yeah. Right. Okay. See, all you do is you call in, and the voice, you do star three. What is that? You do star five or what?
Bill says.
See, you're already unhooked. You're on, Carolyn. Do you guys hear her?
Yeah, well, no, not directly.
Yeah, we hear her, but she... There's like an echo
there. Okay, let me go in another room and see.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah, just now, Carolyn. Just now we can hear you.
Yeah, because I think what happens is when Bob and I are in the same room, you know, there's some sort of interference.
Okay, can I say really quick, Bob, I unmuted Carolyn because I heard her trying to come on the call, and
right.
So I wanted to say I've got to leave for a little bit, so I will not be producing your show right now, so you'll have to take
when
people
you come
on
back.
And off mute.
When's the schedule? What's the schedule? What's next?
Okay, well, the schedule is at 6 o'clock. Lynn Fouch is coming on until 8 p.m., so she's pretty,
okay,
you know.
Okay, so 6 o'clock. I've got 11:40. When is 6 o'clock? At 1 o'clock my time, 5 hours. Okay, five-hour difference. And then, and then at 8 o'clock, who's on?
And then at 8 o'clock, there's a person I've never heard of, Callie Dubois.
Right, okay. How long is she?
She's on for 2 hours, and then Matthew comes on at 10 p.m. Eastern Time.
And that's the end of today?
And then, yes, that's the end of today, and everything resumes at noon tomorrow, as we
okay,
know it.
Okay, good. Because Dave's got nothing to do. He'll probably stay around through Lynn and however long.
Well, yeah, I do have some work to do. I've been spending a lot of time listening to the show and really enjoying it. You know, and don't forget, you leave listeners in the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday zone.
Hey, Dave, your grass stained mind is going on and on and on. You don't hear us, and you're supposed to stop on a dime when someone else starts talking, and you don't. You don't hear us.
Okay, so, Bob, just so you know, we haven't read the messages on the InQuick board, and Carolyn is going to talk about the diesel. But I just wanted to let you know she's off. I'm going, and I'll be back a little later.
Well, I didn't get to say goodbye to Sheila. Is she okay with that?
Yeah, she did say goodbye. She said goodbye.
I was in the bathroom. I didn't hear it.
Yes, I know you didn't hear it, but she said goodbye to her. Other people, and you must have heard it by osmosis or something.
Okay. All right, so here's the thing. Nassans was a guy, Carolyn found out, she's the only one in the world that would have recognized the D-cell. He had a little one or two of them there. And he said that he got involved with Jodon Sloan in some way, bought it, had his water changed, and didn't he say, Carolyn, he invented a microscope to try to see what Joe was seeing. That's what he did. He invented a different kind of microscope. And then he developed a whole bunch of different theories with his alternative microscope and sort of forgot about the D-cell project or something.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I think that's how it went.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was just a surprise of, you know, just wandering around this fairly big lab and on the windowsill where you're supposed to keep the D-cell to kind of reactivate it with the sunlight, there was this little square cement block, and I was freaked. It was so cool.
And so that created a huge rapport. Obviously, you mentioned that to him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was a neat guy. He actually mentioned me in his book. I think, when Christopher Bird wrote a book about Nathan's work, Christopher Bird was there visiting when I was there, so I got mentioned in Christopher Bird's book as being associated with Nassans.
What's happening with him?
I don't know. We'd have to look it up. I think he's still alive.
He was accepted for a while, like in the 90s. The government accepted his treatment, and then they turned against him.
Okay, is that what happened?
Yeah, it's like the same exact thing that happened to Brzezinski.
Yeah.
You know, they'll attack him, and then some factions will kind of win, and they won't attack them for a while, and then they'll attack them again. It's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So Natanz was the only alternative treatment available in Canada and allowed.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, what was his treatment per se?
Hang on, Dave. Essayac was the Indian herbal treatment, and that never got government sanctioned, but it was being studied scientifically, and I was part of that trial. But as for what is in Natanz, it's called 714X, and it was an injectable, I think it was camphor molecule, C-A-M-P-H-O-R, that when injected where it was supposed to be in the inguinal, the groin area, in an inguinal node, the camphor molecule would apparently kind of selectively attack cancer cells and just kill them, dead.
Hmm.
I had my dad on it for his lung cancer, and he did so well, the doctor said he was cured, and then, you know, that made him stop doing the treatment, and then, of course, it either came back or whatever happened. He decided to die because, you know, he stopped the treatment.
Hmm. Wow. And that's a variation. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, yeah, been there, done that.
It's funny, that's a bit of a variation on the Rife microscope, and then the protocols that he came up with was a little different than in, how did you say, what did he do? He injected what form of a cancer cell into the person?
No, CAM4.
CAM4. What is that?
CAMPHOR. There's a camphor. It's a smelly substance. Let me look it up and make sure I have that right. But, and I don't know how he came upon that. And Rife's treatment was way different. Rife would just dial up the frequency of the cells that he wanted to kill and zap them.
With what, the reverse polarity or the same polarity of itself and just amplify its own signal? Or
something like that. You know, he'd pick the polarity and probably reverse it. Mm-hmm.
And would you just destroy the organism?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's camphor. A camphor molecule was the chemical in the 714X compound.
Hmm. And that would be
camphor, ammonium chloride, and nitrate.
And that injected or like intravenously administered?
No,
or
I said injected into the groin area into an inguinal lymph node.
Okay.
So it was a very delicate procedure. My mother was a nurse, so she was able to do it on my father, but you had to get someone who really knew what they were doing to get precisely in the spot. So, as we were talking about many hours ago, all these injectables, I wasn't too keen on them because they weren't accessible to the individual like the RNA drops are.
Right. Huh. Was there some reason why they... What is it, a gland? What did they inject
into? A lymph node. You know how you get lymph nodes in your neck when you get short grip?
Yes.
Well, there are lymph nodes everywhere. There are big lymph nodes in the groin, and the lymph nodes are where he would put the injection because that's where supposedly the lymphatic system would be picking up cancer cells, you know, to try to eradicate the cancer. That's our protective mechanism. So it's like the injection would help support the immune system to kill the cancer cells.
Right. What happens when you start removing the lymphatic system?
it's not a good idea because then you remove the body's protective mechanism.
And so what would then substitute it?
Death.
Oh, God.
When they with women, they take out their lymph nodes under their armpits, and you know they say, oh, you know, the cancer spreads to the armpits. Well, I mean, the cancer is being pulled into the lymph area to try to get rid of it. But you know, when the doctor says the problem, then they just frighten the women into taking away all their lymph nodes. Is their protective mechanism. So, you know, women may, you know, be quote unquote cured of breast cancer because they no longer have a breast, but then they end up with this huge swollen arm because they have no lymph node to sort of circulate lymphatic fluids, and fluids in the arm all just builds up.
Ugh.
Has a lot of pain too.
That's annoying.
More than annoying.
Yeah.
Are you outside, Dave? There's background noise.
No, that's someone else.
So do you have a topic?
Let me just see if this is, I don't know. Let me just see if... Hang on, I've got this little, like, ionizer machine in here. Let me just see if it's that, even though it doesn't sound loud. No, actually, the sound's gone.
Yeah,
let me just see if it's the machine in here. Hang on. What's that?
I think someone must have muted when we start complaining about noise. People
have
to check their mute button and then pull it off. So, yeah, I'm making corn right now, some nice corn.
Yeah, corn what? Yeah.
Corn on the cob.
Yeah. Are you still eating lots of avocados and coconut?
A lot of avocados. I don't get fresh coconuts, but I use coconut milk and coconut juice and all kinds of stuff. Actually, lately I've been trying to make coconut juice kefir, but... I use coconut juice, and I think I should have used a combination of coconut juice and coconut milk, so I think I blew it.
Mm, so what, you're trying to get it to ferment like kefir?
Yeah. Yeah, you buy kefir grains, and then you let it sit. You're supposed to put some sugar in it, but I've seen recipes where people say for a quart of... some sort of milk, you put 4 tablespoons of sugar, which sounds, you know, really outrageous. So I just put a teaspoon of maple syrup powder in. But I don't know if it did anything. I'll have to check.
So, Bobby, are you here?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, is there anything you want to talk about?
No, not immediately. Why did you bring up the naissance? Just as something that, he's not in the news now. You just remembered the topic.
Because does something have to be in the news now to be important?
Well, why did you want to bring up the naissance thing?
Because the topic went up, and I thought that he was significant and didn't get discussed a lot, and
the
that
topic
the microscope
went up.
He came up with is important.
Where did the topic go up?
Come up?
Yeah, how did it come up?
We're talking about pleomorphic, our bacteria are pleomorphic, and Carolyn then had mentioned that he would observe that. And Reifert had said the same thing, supposedly, too, that he would sit sometimes and look at a microscope for 24 hours almost in a row with just a glass of water beside himself and watch these things go through life cycles, change forms.
Well, it's interesting, all these treatments, and according to Ion, the lactate ringer and all that stuff he gave Carolyn in the spring of, what was it, April 18th, 2010, is the most powerful treatment for cancer, and I've been playing some of those. Have you heard them?
Sorry, no, which one is the most powerful treatment for cancer?
Our answer to cancer, the one
Carolyn
gave on April 18th, 2010, and then I played subsequent developments, and you heard about H3O2 and all that. Our stuff is the most prominent stuff, SEAC, though Melody said that she treated somebody with a medicine wheel. You know, but I guess that's one-on-one, and it's not a mass-produced level of operation. Right, Carol?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, Ayn goes on about the requirements of what happens with the cells is only fulfilled by the lactate ringer and the H3O2. That's what does it to the cells, and it's the only thing that can be universally used by everybody because nobody's allergic to it.
Hmm.
So if you haven't registered that, you know, Carol got it 3 years ago, you should be...
Yeah, because what can happen to miracle cures, according to Ayn, is that you can just somehow manipulate your chromosome 14 and, you know, put it back into proper activity. But like Bob says, we're working on something that can be used over and over again. What's the word? It's consistent.
Mm-hmm. In other words, its potency doesn't reduce with usage?
No, not like that. It's just it can be used on a lot of different people effectively.
Oh, because there's no allergens?
No, just because, you know, when somebody says, well, you know, I use sound therapy or the medicine wheel to cure somebody, then will that happen in the next 100 people you treat?
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to create something that's accessible, so it doesn't have to be therapeutically administered by an individual, and it will work, you know, hopefully every time without fail or exception, or at least most of the time.
Mm-hmm. I like that, every time without fail or exception.
Yeah, so listen to this. There's a couple of posts on, I said, I am Blue Out Achieve Radio at 722 EST, so it's about the arrival of Ayn, and let's see, Kim, and that's Kim in New Orleans, I think. She said, I rushed home from work, hung up on a friend so I wouldn't miss any of the show. Finally, I figured out to call in to see if I landed in another universe or was Bob there. He is. Wait a minute. Finally figured out to call in to see if I landed in another universe or was Bob there. He is. Great pre-programmed show. That was before the show started. Then Ginny gives her awards. Then Deborah says, yay, I won. I spoke the words and it happened. Plus, I entered Mucho Times. Thanks for the contest. It was great fun. Remember, she came in second.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, then Kim says, posted yesterday, I had a huge anomaly today. I have been listening to Achieve Radio for 1 year. If I listen on my iPhone, I can... Now, you guys are hearing the echo, right?
I am, yeah. I have it for a while.
How do we stop that, Karen? Do I have to go upstairs? You think I should go upstairs? Hello?
Hello?
No, it doesn't. I've got to go upstairs in a minute. Or just try to put up with it while I read this.
Yeah.
If I listen... No, I'm not going to have this echo going on the recording. Was there an echo when Carolyn speaks?
A little bit.
Okay. Is Allison still here? Where's everybody? Where's Madeline? Where's it? How come there's nobody here?
Because we're not staying much.
Oh yeah, they got jobs to go to, right? No, it's Sunday.
Well, it's not that scintillating. Well, Carolyn stuff is.
It's not that what?
I said it's not that scintillating what we're doing right now, I think.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, who's that?
It's Wendy. I'm here. I'm just listening.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm going to go upstairs and see if we stop the echo.
Yes, I'm still here, but I'm muted. No, I'm here. Hold on.
Everybody's echoing. Someone's got a speakerphone open.
I was on the computer listening, and then I just had to unmute my phone to answer you.
It's got nothing to do with me being upstairs, I don't think.
Dave, what is it? You know about sound. What's going wrong with
the... Well, I don't know what's causing it, but we can hear it. It's cool.
It is kind of cool.
An annoying
Bob.
Kind of way. No, yeah.
Yeah, you see someone's got their speakerphone open.
That's about a 200... No, maybe 250 millisecond delay.
So if... Okay, I'm upstairs. That doesn't improve it.
Well, Bob, you didn't change anything at your end, right?
No, Carolyn came on her iPhone.
That shouldn't make a difference.
Yeah, I don't know why. So let's block everybody and see what's going on here.
Yeah.
Okay, mute all.
All participants are now muted.
See, there's no echo when everybody's muted. So we one by one. Hello. 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 Hello.
Do you want to
hold it. Hello.
Hello.